This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Time for the 2024 NHL Draft on the home of the Stanley Cup champion Florida Panthers. AM 560 Sports WQAM, FM 99.9 HD2, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
The 2024 NHL Draft on WQAM is fueled by Celsius Essential Energy Drinks. Here is the voice of the Panthers, Doug Plagans.
Back with you for hour number two here on a Friday evening, Friday, June 28th, 2024. The Panthers are the 2024 Stanley Cup champions. Parade coming up on Sunday. You don't want to miss that. Gets going at 11 a.m. on A1A right along the ocean in Fort Lauderdale. You don't want to miss it. FloridaPanthers.com has all the information, the route, everything you need pertaining to parking, everything like that. So again, check that all out at FloridaPanthers.com before you venture over. It should be a festive scene coming up on Sunday. Doug Plagans with you. Danny Garcia on the other side of the glass. Big thanks, Billy Lindsay, my broadcast partner on the Panthers Radio Network, for stopping by. In hour number one, we're going to hear from Tim Reynolds of the Associated Press coming up in just a little bit. And then coming up in hour number three, Jameson Olive will check in from out at Sphere in Vegas. He is on the ground at the NHL draft, so we will hear from him. The Panthers don't pick until the 97th selection, round three. The Panthers do have picks in the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh rounds of this draft, but tonight's just the first round. So right now, as things currently stand, the Panthers will not be selecting tonight, but that doesn't take away from what we have to talk about, because the Panthers, well, they won their first Stanley Cup back on Monday. In case you missed that, that was a big event that happened earlier in the week. The Panthers are the Stanley Cup champions, and we'll continue to keep you posted on what's going on as far as the draft is concerned. Tim Reynolds coming up next segment. But, folks, as we get into breaking down a little bit of what's going on as far as the NHL draft goes, we'll get to some transactions across the National Hockey League as well that have taken place the last couple of weeks. Certainly some that move the needle, some that you're going to want to keep an eye on. And I realize, because I was guilty of it too, Panthers were in the middle of a Stanley Cup run. It was easy to gloss over some of the other stuff that was happening across the National Hockey League. But as far as round one of the draft goes, it looks like the Seattle Kraken have just made their pick. We'll get to that coming up here in just a moment. But first overall, Macklin Celebrini went to the Sharks. He was the first pick in this draft. He was kind of deemed the first round or the first selection in this draft going back since before last draft. It's been known for a long time he was going to be taken first overall. Kind of a foregone conclusion with ties to the Bay Area. Makes sense for a number of different reasons. And the Sharks chose him number one. Second pick, the Blackhawks selected defenseman Artem Levchinov out of Michigan State. The third pick, the Anaheim Ducks took Beckett Senecky, right winger out of Oshawa of the Ontario Hockey League. Fourth overall, the Columbus Blue Jackets selected center Caden Lindstrom out of Medicine Hat in the Western Hockey League. Montreal, an Atlantic Division team, selected left winger Ivan Demidov out of Russia with the fifth pick. And that's a guy who is, again, listening to a lot of experts. They say there's some pretty electrifying talent with Ivan Demidov. So we'll see how things play out there. But worth noting, because Montreal, an Atlantic Division team that's on the rise. And, well, as far as they're concerned, they believe that they got another good one as far as forwards go in the draft tonight. Sixth overall, the Utah Hockey Club selecting Tiege Iginla, the son of a longtime NHLer and Hall of Famer Jerome Iginla. So I know a lot of folks were hoping that he would slip to number nine so he could be chosen by the Calgary Flames. I was one of those people. It would have been cool to see Calgary select Tiege Iginla, assuming that was the direction they were willing to go. But not going to be the case, because Utah selected Tiege Iginla, sixth overall out of Kelowna, the Western Hockey League. Another Atlantic Division team made a top 10 selection. Ottawa at number seven chose defenseman Carter Yakimchuk out of Calgary of the Western Hockey League. And just a moment ago, the Seattle Kraken chose center Berkeley Catton from Spokane of the Western Hockey League. So a pretty heavy dose of the Western Hockey League early in this draft. Calgary is on the clock as we speak, followed by the New Jersey Devils, which is a good segue. That rounds out the top 10, by the way. A good segue into getting to some of the transactions, notable ones that have taken place over the last couple of weeks. And as I look back, I'm going to start the notable transactions list back on June 19th. We're not going to go back any further than that, but Calgary and New Jersey made a huge trade that day. So with Calgary and New Jersey, the next two teams to select in the draft, again, a good little segue here. This was one that was talked about going back to before the trade deadline this season. New Jersey, they wanted Jacob Markstrom. They wanted to shore up their goaltending. That was a team that believed this season that they could have been a playoff team, maybe even more than just a playoff team. But there were some issues between the pipes for the Devils over the course of the season, whether it be for injuries or other reasons. They wanted Jacob Markstrom before the deadline, didn't materialize. They went and got Jacob Markstrom back on the 19th of this month in exchange for Kevin Ball, a defenseman and 2025 first-round pick. I think this one works for both sides. New Jersey, they needed a go-to guy in net. And Jacob Markstrom, even though he's no spring chicken anymore, he's a guy that does have some good years ahead of him. He is a marquee goaltender. He is the biggest reason why the Calgary Flames were in the mix for a good chunk of the season. And no doubt, if he continues to perform the way he has, that's going to be a big upgrade. And it makes an already pretty potent and dangerous New Jersey Devils team even more potentially dangerous going into next season. Of course, some of their top guys, Jack Hughes being one of them, hampered by injuries over the course of the year. But if he's healthy and if they get the saves consistently and get quality goaltending, we know Markstrom can provide that, makes the Devils a pretty good team in the Eastern Conference. Kevin Ball, a defenseman I've always liked, going from New Jersey to Calgary, a big, tough stay-at-home guy, and Calgary getting a first-round pick as well, as they're kind of in a rebuild, retool, whatever you want to call it. When you start moving off, you look at the last few years, moving off marquee players, it kind of has the feel of a rebuild, whether that's the terminology they want to use or not. It's kind of the direction they're going. So at very least, retooling. Another trade back on the 19th, San Jose acquired Ty Dellandrea, a first-round pick a few years back from Dallas for a 2025 fourth-rounder. Another pretty big trade back on the 19th. This was one that, well, two guys looking for a change of scenery, perhaps. Two teams looking to move a chunk of change. Washington took on Pierre-Luc Dubois. 7 years left on that big contract he signed with L.A. before last season. Things didn't work out for him in Los Angeles. So the Kings, I guess, realizing that things didn't work out with Pierre-Luc Dubois, shipped him off to Washington. In return, the Capitals sent Darcy Kemper to L.A. Now, the Kings, they could use an upgrade between the pipes. Darcy Kemper, he is a Stanley Cup winning goaltender a couple of years back with the Colorado Avalanche. Maybe not viewed as that elite guy, but perhaps an upgrade in net for the LA Kings. So maybe a good one for both sides here. We'll see how things materialize. I know there are question marks with both, but that was a notable trade, and two notable guys changing sides in that deal. Other trades that have taken place, one within the Atlantic Division that certainly is notable, between a couple of Atlantic Division teams. Ottawa, speaking of looking to get some saves next season. Mentioned the Atlantic Division, It's not getting any easier. But the Ottawa Senators acquired Linus Ullmark from the Boston Bruins, Vezina Trophy winner last season. That's a definite upgrade for Ottawa between the pipes. They shipped off Jonas Korpisalo, Mark Kastelic, and a first-round pick in this draft that's taking place tonight in the deal. So, again, two goaltenders getting a change of scenery. Ullmark was part of that two-headed monster in Boston, but the Bruins, they figure they're going to give Jeremy Swayman the keys to the car long term. He's going to be the number one guy. He was the younger of the tandem that they had there. You figured at some point Linus Ullmark was going to be moved off. So to Ottawa he goes, where you figure he is going to play a lion's share of the games. I would expect that Linus Ullmark is going to play 50, 60 games next season. Ottawa looking for an upgrade between the pipes. No doubt they got one. And with a young team in transition, if they're able to get consistent saves, that can be something that reverberates throughout the entire team. Boston, on the other hand, getting a first-round pick tonight. Of course, acquiring Mark Kastelic, a tough forward. Feels like a Bruin. Mark Kastelic feels like he has that Bruins DNA in him. We know that's a tough team, and he gives them some more muscle there. And Jonas Korpisalo, who figures to be the backup to Jeremy Swayman as far as Boston's goaltending situation goes. An interesting deal that Detroit made, shipping off Jake Walman and a second-round pick to the San Jose Sharks for future considerations. You kind of get the feeling there that Steve Yzerman in Detroit is moving out some money. Maybe he has a bigger idea in mind. It has to be part of some kind of grand plan, because Jake Walman was a guy that, when he was healthy, he played a lot for the Detroit Red Wings, and he was a good contributor and a guy that the Red Wings kind of uncovered a few years ago, and he turned into a regular and played some good hockey for Detroit. But they moved him off to San Jose, and you figure that was Steve Yzerman freeing up some money, maybe with some other ideas in mind. As far as the other transactions that have taken place just yesterday, Washington and Calgary, a couple of teams we've already mentioned here making trades. The Capitals acquired Andrew Mangiapane, a scoring winger who had a down year for Calgary by his standards, but we've seen him score a lot of goals in the past. Washington acquired Andrew Mangiapane for a second-round pick. Now, the Capitals, they're a team that made the playoffs. They were the only sweep in the playoffs this whole season, which speaks to the parity, the level of competition in the Stanley Cup playoffs. But Rangers over Capitals, that was the only sweep. And Washington was overmatched in that series. But acquiring Pierre-Luc Dubois, acquiring Andrew Mangiapane, they're trying to add some pieces, some contributors, and in that getting a little bit younger as well, but younger and acquiring NHL regulars. So Dubois, Mangiapane, that could be the makings of a line for Spencer Carberry in Washington. That was a pretty big trade that took place yesterday. Now, as far as the draft is concerned, earlier today, Montreal acquired a first-round pick from LA for Montreal's first-round pick, as well as a second-round pick and a seventh-round pick in this draft. So Montreal clearly looking to move up a little bit. And also earlier today, before the draft, the Blue Jackets acquired a fourth-round pick for Alex Texier. And that trade was made with the St. Louis Blues. So an update of some of the transactions that have taken place leading up to the NHL draft. We're going to continue breaking down the draft. We're going to continue updating you on what's going on at Sphere in Vegas. Coming up next hour, Jamison Olive is going to stop by. He's on the ground out there at Sphere to talk about everything that he's seen so far. But coming up next, Tim Reynolds from the Associated Press, kind enough to join us. We'll get some thoughts from him on the playoff run for the Panthers, the season that was, and looking ahead a little bit as well. The parade coming up on Sunday. You don't want to miss that. 11 a.m. FloridaPanthers.com has all the information. And as you continue to make your plans for next season, you might think, next season? Why are you already talking about next season? Well, because there's going to be a preseason game less than 3 months away. Things are going to come fast and furious, and you want to make sure you start looking at. I know there's not a schedule yet, but you can make your group deposits, your suite deposits for next season. Get the first pick when that schedule comes out. FloridaPanthers.com, all the info, or you can call 954 1-800-835-PUCK. We'll step aside. We'll come back. Tim Reynolds of the Associated Press will join us. Danny Garcia on the other side of the glass. I'm Doug Plagans with you till 10 o'clock, talking all things Florida Panthers. It's the annual draft show and year in review. We've kind of taken on a year in review feel here on the annual draft show for a number of reasons. One of those reasons, a big, shiny cup called the Stanley Cup that the Panthers won back on Monday night. Thoughts on that and more with Tim Reynolds on the other side of the break. It's the Panthers annual draft special right here on 560 WQAM.
Time for more of the NHL draft. Fueled by Celsius Essential Energy Drinks on the home of the Stanley Cup champion Florida Panthers. AM 560 Sports, WQAM, FM 99.9 HD2, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Welcome back here on our annual 560 WQAM NHL Draft Show. And, well, the show tonight, it's more of a year in review because we have a special year to review for the Florida Panthers. Doug Plagans here with you, joined by a special guest here in just a moment. It's not just a year in review for the Florida Panthers. It's a year in review for the 2024 Stanley Cup champion, Florida Panthers. And, well, kind enough to stop by and join us here tonight to reminisce a little bit, maybe look ahead down the road, talk about everything that's gone into what we witnessed just a few days back. Tim Reynolds from the Associated Press, one of the great associates with which I am privileged to associate with. Tim, how are you today? We always talked about the fact that one day we would see each other at the parade. And, well, now we can officially say, hey, Sunday, folks, Sunday at 11 a.m. in Fort Lauderdale. Tim, I can see you at the parade.
I can't believe it's happened. I mean, and because, like, as I mean, you at least work for the team. I just very lucky to go to games. It's so hard to win this thing. Like, it's impossible to win the Stanley Cup. A billion things have to go right. And then, like you said, we've been using the line on what, for 3 years, see you at the parade. But I'm really looking forward to Sunday. I think it's going to be, it will be an appropriate celebration for this group. And this journey. And this journey just wasn't one game seven. It wasn't just one series. It's 4 years of Bill Zito. It's 30 years of existence. You know, I was there for all three Heat titles, obviously. I know what 2006 meant. A lot of those years, they were not even thinking championship. You know, the expansion years, all that. They won it in like their third or fourth year that they could have won it. This just is different. It's a different feeling because it took Florida, legitimately took 30 years to do this. And I am enjoying so much watching the people who have worked for it for so long get their moment.
Tim Reynolds from the Associated Press, kind enough to stop by here on our annual NHL draft show, which again is more of a look back at the biggest year in Panthers history. And we'll get back.
Care about the draft.
We'll get back to breaking down round one of the NHL draft here in just a few moments. And we'll keep you posted on all that as we go through the evening here, as you know. But looking back here at the playoff run that was, the season that was, the game seven that was, Tim. And why don't we start right there, starting with the end, the game seven, Tim. I mean, I think that game seven, there were so many storylines. And for somebody who works in your business, you probably don't even know where to start at that point because there were so many different angles going into that game for both sides, plus just the national perspective. And then the way that the game played out and the TV viewership that went along with it and the fact that it was on a Monday night when there was really no competition. This was a game seven for the ages that had everything you would have wanted in a game like that. It's easy for people in South Florida to say that it was a great game seven because the Panthers won. But Tim, plain and simple, that was kind of a banner night for not only the Panthers and hockey in our region, but it was a banner night for the National Hockey League too.
It was a wonderful night for the sport. And it forever dispelled the notion that a 2-1 hockey game can't be exciting. it was one of the greatest hockey games you'll ever see. And, you know, the poo-pooers out there will be like, well, only three goals happened. Yeah, only three goals happened. I just thought it was an incredible game. I go back to, so the moment, you know, they kill off the last 15 seconds in the corner, which was, by the way, the only way the Florida Panthers were going to win a championship was doing it that way. By saying, we are going to just keep the puck right here. You are not going to get it from us. We are going to dictate when time runs out. That was quintessential Florida Panthers hockey and what they've become. So then you see the moment of the stream of gloves and other assorted paraphernalia from hockey players littering the ice, the rats coming down, that moment of joy where 27 men or however many got out there in that moment became one. Very reminiscent to me of the Miracle on Ice moment where 20 guys got on top of a little podium in Lake Placid. And then you look at the other end of the ice, and the Oilers didn't have the strength to get off the ice. Like, they gave everything they had. And you have to appreciate that. We don't look, it's a Panther moment. This is a Panther show, and these are Panther fans we're talking to. You have to appreciate how much the Edmonton Oilers put into this. It was everything you would have wanted from a game seven. If you were neutral, you felt really badly that one team had to lose it. If you're an Oiler fan, you're devastated and you're not going to get over it until they win one. And if you're a Panther fan, you're never going to come down from this high because you won the greatest game in your franchise's history. What an incredible night. My first thought, honestly, was Paul Maurice. Because I think he, and it even came up on the television broadcast of, you know, boy, what would this have meant to Paul Maurice if they'd lost? And I thought that was really so silly to say because they won. Like, you can stop the what ifs now. They won. Very happy for Paul Maurice. Very happy for the guys like Bill Zito, of course. I was thrilled for Billy Lindsay. I could go on for the entire show. I'll just say this. These are the toughest men we know who play this game, right? These are the toughest men. Billy Lindsay is just a tough human being. Bill Zito is a bear of a human being. Paul Maurice has a grip on him that you don't want to shake hands with him angrily because you will lose. And this trophy just brings them to their knees and makes them sob. Like the power of that trophy, you have to appreciate it. And I was really happy for the Lou. Oh my gosh, how can I forget Lou? How many demons did Lou exercise when he raised that thing to the heavens and screamed these men have given a lifetime for this? And it was, you're happy for the players, but man, you're happy for the guys that probably never thought they'd have that moment.
Tim Reynolds from the Associated Press here talking Panthers and the Stanley Cup championship here in 2024. And I know I've mentioned to a lot of people that it would have been the thrill of a lifetime anyway, but being alongside Billy Lindsay for the run and seeing what the uniform, the logo, the organization, everything still means to him 31 years after he was an expansion draftee of the Panthers, just that goes beyond anything you can quantify, anything that you can sum up in words, just made it all that much more special. And the same thing can be said for everybody. Tim, as far as that Stanley Cup goes, I know it's still very fresh, and we're going to be able to see year over year the lasting effect of what winning this championship means. But you've been covering sports, you know, from all angles, all different sports down here in South Florida for decades. What's this mean, do you think, as far as just what it does for hockey, what it does for sports fans, what it does for general buzz, for everything here in this marketplace?
Well, for starters, it's forever. And the best part about championship teams is it's not the Florida Panthers won the cup. Now we can't say that. Well, you can. Media members can't say this, but literally everybody else in South Florida can say it now forever. We won the cup. We won the cup. We won the NBA title. We won the World Series. We won the Super Bowl. There's just nothing more unifying to a community than the success of a sports franchise. Doesn't matter the franchise, doesn't matter if it's high school, professional, doesn't matter. Nothing unifies as a community. Nothing unifies a community more than winning. The Florida Panthers made South Florida a hockey town forever. Now, it's also a football town. It's also a basketball town. I'd like to see it become a baseball town. It is not right now, but we'll get there. They made it forever a hockey town. And there's now ultimate belief that it can happen in Florida. It can happen for this franchise. It can happen for this little weird arena at the edge of the Everglades. Why would people come here to play hockey? Why would people give up their winters, give up their nights on the beach and weekends on the water and all that to go watch a hockey? Well, this is why. Because magic happens in that building. Because you never know when you're going to see something great. But now they've proven they can get to the absolute mountaintop. It changes everything forever. I was getting calls, Doug. I mean, I'm just a guy who covers the team. I'm getting calls from a couple of companies saying, who do we talk to? We want to get in business with the Florida Panthers. It changes everything. It's people want to be associated with winners. And the Florida Panthers have done a lot of winning, but now they're forever going to be winners. It just changes that much that quickly. I know it's silly. Nothing about the franchise changed. Vinny Viola and his wife, their principles did not change one bit now that they're Stanley Cup champions. Bill Zito, Paul Maurice, nothing changes, except everything changes. That's the weirdest part of winning a championship. So I can't wait to see what the crowds are going to be like in October. I can't wait to see what they're going to be like next year when they go to the playoffs and try to defend the thing. I will say this, as a guy who's been around for all three of the Heat ones, if you think the first one was cool, the journey for the second title is so much harder. That one's the sweetest. The second championship a franchise wins is probably its sweetest. And eventually the Panthers are going to figure that out, and that's when this is going to get real fun.
Tim Reynolds of the Associated Press here with us talking Panthers and the Stanley Cup Championship here on our annual draft show. And, of course, you can find Tim on Twitter or the platform formerly known as Twitter, at by Tim Reynolds. You can find him there. Great stuff across the board on everything. And, again, Tim, looking back, you mentioned something earlier. This team has been to the Cup Final now back-to-back years. And I know there was a different feeling for each one, but I've illustrated this to a lot of people. You know, you look back to the one the Panthers lost to Vegas, and that defeat stung, but at the same time, there were 30 other teams that would have given anything to get to a Cup Final and lose. It is that difficult to get there. There are a lot of teams that would love to be in the Panthers' shoes and have gone down in five games, and to be able to then take that experience, say we're going to pick up where we left off and carry it through another season, win a division, go to the Stanley Cup and win the thing – far easier said than done. You've covered everything. Can you quantify or even put it into words how difficult it is to get that far, to get back 2 years in a row like that?
I can't, because here's the thing that makes it so different. These physically demanding sports. Now you're going to have a short offseason again.
There's a preseason game less than 3 months away.
Less than three. I was just going to say, media day is like September 14th or something crazy. Like, there is no offseason for these guys. Now, luckily, and we haven't been told the nooks and crannies of every injury, but Paul said it the other night that they made it through this one pretty okay. He did actually say with a straight face, some cracked bones. And I'm like, that's the most hockey thing ever. Nothing bad, just some cracked bones. I'm like, what? I had a cold the day before game seven. I didn't want to go to game seven. These guys are out there with broken bones. They don't care. It makes it so tough. Like they didn't have, I mean, it feels like 5 years ago, they didn't have Aaron Ekblad and Brandon Montour for the first quarter of this season. Matthew Tkachuk, I don't think, was right for the first 40 games. He was out there, but he wasn't the same Matthew Tkachuk, because I think he was still dealing with his body literally be broken in half last year during the Stanley Cup Final. It's impossible to recover from the grind of 100 hockey games. They're not going to do it twice in a row. And yet they just keep finding a way. Like, Boston's been the best regular season team over the last 2 years. They didn't win the President's Trophy this year, but they've won. They've piled up, what, like 260 points or something crazy in the last 2 years? They've won one playoff series. They've won one. It's so hard to win. These guys have won seven playoff series in 2 years. We went 26 years in this town without a hockey team winning a playoff series. They've won seven in the last 2 years. It's absurd what they've done. It's impossibly hard to do. And yet the expectation next year, try as they may to temper them, the expectation is do it again. And it makes no sense that they'll be able to do it again. Can you dig that deeply 3 years in a row It makes no sense. And you know what's going to happen in the preseason preview show. I'm going to tell you see at the parade. Because I do think they are built, the contracts, the people they have, the structure, the system, and the belief in one another. There's just something different about that room. It's built to last. Now, listen, hockey's weird. They could get swept 4-0 in round one next year. Hockey's just a different game. Ask the Lightning what Bob did to them. I mean, that was Bob stealing a series, and it's going to happen to the Florida Panthers again one day. But I've been trying for a week to explain to people how unusual this is. It's not unprecedented, but it's darn close what they were able to do.
You're going to say see at the parade, and I'm going to say, Tim, the parade was like 2 weeks ago, because that's not that much of a stretch.
No kidding.
It's going to be a quick turnaround for this group. When you go that far, things come quickly. There isn't much of an off season. These guys are going to be getting right back at it. We're already at the draft. Free agency is going to be coming up in a couple of days, and then development camp and everything like that. You have a little bit of quiet time maybe in August, but it's going to pick back up in a hurry right after Labor Day, which isn't too far off. Tim Reynolds, the Associated Press here with us. Last one, I'm going to get you out on this one. You look back at that playoff run, Tim, and you touched on a couple of things. What's the lasting image for you, or the lasting play? Or the big, if you had to put one thing on the wall to kind of say this embodies the playoff run, I think I'm thinking first maybe Paul Maurice hoisting the cup, the Sergei Bobrovsky save on Matt Dumba, which feels like forever ago back in the first round against Tampa Bay. That was an incredible save. The save Bobrovsky made even on Ryan McLeod in game three in Edmonton to protect that late lead. That one stands out. You look back at there were certainly overtime moments in the Rangers series when Sam Reinhart scored the overtime goal to tie that series at two when things could have gone sideways. The people forget the Panthers were trailing 2-1 and were going into overtime. Could have been down 3-1 to the Rangers had there been a bad bounce against them there in the conference final. If you had to look back at the playoff run, is there one lasting image, one lasting play, one thing that comes to mind for you?
I mean, the Bobbery, we have not given that its appropriate love. The Bobbery was such a huge save. And all of the moments from Game 7, just all of those moments afterward, I think you just have to heap them into one pile of awesome, and you have to grade them differently. For me, the answer I have for you is a moment that very few of us saw because it wasn't in a game. It was the last practice on Sunday before Game 7. And Paul Maurice was going around to guys more than I've seen him before. Little chats in their ear. Now, we're up at the top of the seating and they're down on the ice and we can't hear them, but I think we can reasonably assume the way he was going around to guys, he was just taking the temperature and just telling them, we're okay. And I saw Paul Maurice do a lot of smiling in that practice. They've lost three in a row. They're staring into the abyss of absolute collapse. They know 95% of the media covering this series was rooting for the collapse to happen. And there was just absolute confidence in Paul Maurice. It wasn't bluster. Nobody came into the room and did the Mark Messier, the guarantee. Nobody came in and did that. There was just heads up, shoulders back, incredible confidence from those players, because their coach, the guy who can't win it, by the way, the guy who's never won the big one because he can't, I think was the most confident guy on the ice that morning. And to me, I walked out of there and I said it to a few people. I mean, I picked them in 7 anyway. I didn't pick it going WWLLLW. I didn't quite have the order down. There was no mistaking the confidence Paul Maurice had. And to me, that was the moment, was that Sunday morning going around to his guys and saying, we're okay. And then sure enough, they went out and they proved him right. I just think he was the right man for the right job and pushed every right button. And that team, you could even tell from the order of the cup. Barkey gets it first and they give it to Bob. And they give it to Kyle Okposo, who'd been here for 5 minutes. OEL gets it next. They rewarded the guys who had waited the longest. to win this thing. I was super glad that Spencer Knight got his moment. Knighter giving the cup to Paul Maurice. That's going to be tough to top, man, because it was just the reward of the job he did. So to me, the moment was the confidence he showed the day before.
Yeah, and you mentioned that, and you mentioned Paul Maurice, and interesting, you mentioned Paul Maurice too, because I've had a few days to think about it, and I think that the lasting image for me is Paul Maurice lifting the cup. To me, that's right now, that's from the celebration, from the last few days, that's the one that's resonating for me the most. So mentioned Paul Maurice.
He called his parents from the ice. His parents are still in the house across the street from where Wayne Gretzky and Paul Coffey used to play street hockey when they played for the Sioux. You can't make up how good a story Paul Maurice is. You just can't do it. And for him to sit, look into the camera, I think he was talking to Sportsnet, and tell his father, all of your heroes are on the cup, and now Maurice's, like, how can you not love this sport when you hear stories like that? We didn't mention Tkachuk. We didn't mention Ekblad. We didn't mention Sam Reinhart, who scored 67 goals this year. A billion unbelievable. The Gadjo story in New York when the guys gave him the puck because he had just come back from the Twins being born. This was just a special group, but it was a special group because Paul Maurice allowed them to be special.
And Paul Maurice is a no-doubter Hall of Famer. Sergei Bobrovsky is a no-doubter Hall of Famer, especially after this win. And there are a couple of other guys now that are probably on that track, depending on how things play out down the road. Tim Reynolds, the Associated Press. You can find him on Twitter at @ByTimReynolds. Kind enough to stop by. Tim, as always, thanks very much for stopping by here on our annual draft show. And now we can say it with absolute certainty, Tim, I will see you at the parade.
See you at the parade, my brother. I'll see you there Sunday.
Tim Reynolds, the Associated Press, kind enough to stop by. More of our annual NHL Draft Spectacular coming up here in just a moment as we continue to, well, look at the NHL Draft, but look back more at the season that was, the championship season that was for your Florida Panthers. Doug Plagans here with a big thanks to Tim Reynolds once again for stopping by. This is our annual draft special right here on 560 Sports WQAM.
Let's get back to the NHL Draft, fueled by Celsius Essential Energy Drinks on the home of the Stanley Cup champion Florida Panthers. AM 560 Sports, WQAM, FM 99.9 HD2, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Already six defensemen chosen in the first 13 picks of the NHL Draft. We'll get you caught up on that in just a moment. The Buffalo Sabres are on the clock right now, so an Atlantic Division team ready to make a selection. We saw the Wild and the Flyers swap, and the Wild moved up to draft a defenseman, as I mentioned. So we'll get you caught up on everything going on at the draft at the or at Sphere in Las Vegas. Not the Sphere, at Sphere in Las Vegas. We'll get to that coming up in just a few moments. But some sound from that post game 7 media availability. Doug Plagans here with you, by the way. Danny Garcia on the other side of the glass. And big thanks to Tim Reynolds from the Associated Press for stopping by last segment. But want to get to some of the sound bites from after the game 7 victory. And again, mention earlier when we heard from Paul Maurice that we would be hearing more from Panthers head coach Paul Maurice. Covered a number of topics, was asked about a number of things during that post game media availability following the Game 7 victory back on Monday night. But getting to a few different thoughts here. First up, here's Panthers head coach Paul Maurice post-game, asked what Aaron Ekblad, the second longest tenured Panther, meant to the team on that run of the Stanley Cup.
So broken, beat up, he had to play this kind of girl, bang it up, and defend. mention the team on that run of the Stanley Cup.
I think it would be year.
I think he truly, truly embraced it. And part of it is he's not old, but he's not in 23.
So Panthers head coach Paul Maurice right there talking about Aaron Ekblad, what he meant to the Panthers on this playoff run. And one of the lasting images, we talked about it with Billy Lindsay earlier in the show, talked about it with Tim Reynolds a few moments ago. There's so many lasting images from the Stanley Cup celebration, so many people that you're happy for. I mean, it's an endless list. I'm happy for each and every one of you tuned in out there in the listening audience, because I know so many of you, or a lot of you, have been following this team since back in the Miami Arena days that hoped you'd see the Panthers hoist the Stanley Cup at some point. And that day was Monday. The Panthers won their first Stanley Cup. One of those guys you're so happy for is Aaron Ekblad. He, along with Alexander Barkov, cornerstone guys, been here for a long time, been through the thick and thin, and the fact that they got to see this thing through and be a part of a Stanley Cup champion right here with the Florida Panthers, that's just an outstanding experience for the two of them. And again, can't be more happy for those two guys. And Paul Maurice right there talking about Aaron Ekblad, what he's meant to the team throughout the run. Here's Paul Maurice again. This is all from the post-game availability following Game 7. Lots of great thoughts and great insight from the Panthers head coach. And he was asked here, through all the noise prior to Game 7, he said he just wanted to make sure the Panthers looked good from the start, and he says they did. No, I can't hear, but I checked it. Paul Maurice there again. That was post game following Game 7, following the Stanley Cup win back on Monday. And we've got one more nugget here from Panthers head coach Paul Maurice from that post game availability after Game 7. And here he is talking about what it meant to see this group, this particular edition of the Florida Panthers, accomplish what they did. So Panthers head coach Paul Maurice right there, and again, great thoughts from him post-game following the Game 7 win, all that from his post-game media availability following Game 7, following the Panthers' Stanley Cup victory
back on Monday. Coming up on the end of hour number two here, big thanks to Tim Reynolds for stopping by last segment. Coming up next hour, no shortage of activity. We are going to relive all the clinching, all the series clinchers from the playoff run. We'll chat with Jameson Olive as he's out there in Vegas. We'll hear from Sam Bennett, Carter Verhaeghe, some sound bites from them coming up a little bit later on as well. So again, lots to get to, but a reminder, folks, remember it's never too early to start thinking about next season. Don't miss your chance to become a territory member for next season. Following a sellout of lower bowl and club level seating this season, your Cats have limited availability to become part of the territory. Don't wait. Secure your seats today. Call 954-835-PUCK or go to floridapanthers.com. This is your territory. And Panthers fans, the all-new Baptist Health Iceplex at FTL War Memorial, it's now open and accepting registrations. Register now for public skate lessons, hockey drop-ins, give hockey a try for free, and more. Break in the ice and enjoy the brand-new community gym in downtown Fort Lauderdale. Information about all the upcoming programs and how to register is available at FTLWarMemorial.com. And I mentioned earlier, you can make your suite deposits for next year. Get first-in-line access to select your games and suites for next season. Put down your group deposits for next season. Organize that group outing at Amerant Bank Arena. Enjoy VIP experiences that come with it at a Panthers game next season. FloridaPanthers.com/nightly suites. FloridaPanthers.com/groups. And you want to be a part of all the action coming up next season. I know the schedule's not out, but that is going to be coming at some point relatively soon. And then after that, you know, everything that happens over the course of the summer, free agency coming up in a couple of days, the draft ongoing right now, the schedule, all that coming up as we cruise along throughout the offseason. And in less than 3 months, the Panthers have preseason dates on the schedule. So again, it's going to come fast and furious looking ahead to next season. Looking ahead to hour number three of the program here. Speaking of Atlantic Division teams, the Red Wings just made a selection. We'll get to an update on everything that's going on from Sphere in Vegas coming up next hour, not only with a catch-up on the draft picks on the other side of the break, but we will also hear from Jameson Olive, who is at Sphere currently covering the draft for FloridaPanthers.com. So we'll hear from him coming up next hour. Some sound bites as well. Lots more draft coverage. Lots more to get to as we continue cruising along, folks. Big thanks to Tim Reynolds for stopping by here in hour number two. Thanks to Billy Lindsay once again for stopping by back in hour number one. Danny Garcia on the other side of the glass. Doug Plagans here with you. We're talking all things Stanley Cup champion Florida Panthers, keeping you updated on the NHL draft as round one is ongoing out in Vegas. Lots to cover for another hour here on the annual draft special. This is 560 Sports WQAM.
Let's get back to the NHL draft. Fueled by Celsius Essential Energy Drinks. On the home of the Stanley Cup champion, Florida Panthers. AM 560 Sports WQAM. FM 99.9 HD2. And always live on the free Odyssey app.
Already six defensemen chosen in the first 13 picks of the NHL draft. We'll get you caught up on that in just a moment. The Buffalo Sabres are on the clock right now, so an Atlantic Division team ready to make a selection. We saw the Wild and the Flyers swap, and the Wild moved up to draft a defenseman, as I mentioned. So we'll get you caught up on everything going on at the draft at the or at Sphere in Las Vegas, not the Sphere, at Sphere in Las Vegas. We'll get to that coming up in just a few moments. But some sound from that post-game seven media availability. Doug Plagans here with you, by the way. Danny Garcia on the other side of the glass. And big thanks to Tim Reynolds from the Associated Press for stopping by last segment. But want to get to some of the sound bites from after the game seven victory. And again, mention earlier, when we heard from Paul Maurice, that we would be hearing more from Panthers head coach Paul Maurice. Covered a number of topics, was asked about a number of things during that post-game media availability following the Game 7 victory back on Monday night. But getting to a few different thoughts here. First up, here's Panthers head coach Paul Maurice post-game, asked what Aaron Ekblad, the second longest tenured Panther, meant to the team on that run of the Stanley Cup.
I did for him.
You find sometimes you find a different way. Then in some ways, yeah.
He came off the top on the power play and he went to the flank. And then he came off. And I think what happened is he broke his foot, sublucked his shoulder twice, had an oblique tear. Order of the play of the game, he was so broken and beat up, he had to play this kind of great, bang it up, and defend. He also lost that kind of offensive game, and now he's playing with
the rest of the team on that run of the Stanley Cup. I think it'll be year.
Pretty good. I think he truly, truly embraced it. And part of it is he's not old, but he's not in 23.
So Panthers head coach Paul Maurice right there talking about Aaron Ekblad, what he meant to the Panthers on this playoff run. And one of the lasting images, we talked about it with Billy Lindsay earlier in the show, talked about it with Tim Reynolds a few moments ago. There's so many lasting images from the Stanley Cup celebration, so many people that you're happy for. I mean, it's an endless list. I'm happy for each and every one of you tuned in out there in the listening audience, because I know so many of you, or a lot of you, have been following this team since back in the Miami Arena days that hoped you'd see the Panthers hoist the Stanley Cup at some point. And that day was Monday's. The Panthers won their first Stanley Cup. One of those guys you're so happy for is Aaron Ekblad. He, along with Alexander Barkov, cornerstone guys, been here for a long time, been through the thick and thin, and the fact that they got to see this thing through and be a part of a Stanley Cup champion right here with the Florida Panthers, that's just an outstanding experience for the two of them. And again, can't be more happy for those two guys. And Paul Maurice right there talking about Aaron Ekblad, what he's meant to the team throughout the run. Here's Paul Maurice again. This is all from the post-game availability following Game 7. Lots of great thoughts and great insight from the Panthers head coach. And he was asked here, through all the noise prior to Game 7, he said he just wanted to make sure the Panthers looked good from the start, and he says they did. No, I can't hear, but I checked it. Paul Maurice there. Again, that was post-game following Game 7, following the Stanley Cup win back on Monday. And we've got one more nugget here from Panthers head coach Paul Maurice from that post-game availability after Game 7. And here he is talking about what it meant to see this group, this particular edition of the Florida Panthers, accomplish what they did.
So Panthers head coach Paul Maurice right there. And again, great thoughts from him post-game following the Game 7 win, all that from his post-game media availability following Game 7, following the Panthers' Stanley Cup victory back on Monday. Coming up on the end of hour number two here, big thanks to Tim Reynolds for stopping by last segment. Coming up next hour, no shortage of activity. We are going to relive all the clinching, all the series clinchers from the playoff run. We'll chat with Jameson Olive as he's out there in Vegas. We'll hear from Sam Bennett, Carter Verhaeghe, some sound bites from them coming up a little bit later on as well. So again, lots to get to. But a reminder, folks, remember, it's never too early to start thinking about next season. Don't miss your chance to become a territory member for next season. Following a sellout of lower bowl and club level seating this season, your Cats have limited availability to become part of the territory. Don't wait. Secure your seats today. Call 954-835-PUCK or go to floridapanthers.com. This is your territory. And Panthers fans, the all-new Baptist Health Iceplex at FTL War Memorial, it's now open and accepting registrations. Register now for public skate lessons, hockey drop-ins, give hockey a try for free, and more. Break in the ice and enjoy the brand-new community gym in downtown Fort Lauderdale. Information about all the upcoming programs and how to register is available at FTLWarMemorial.com. And I mentioned earlier, you can make your suite deposits for next year. Get first-in-line access to select your games and suites for next season. Put down your group deposits for next season. Organize that group outing at Amerant Bank Arena. Enjoy VIP experiences that come with it at a Panthers game next season. FloridaPanthers.com/nightly suites. FloridaPanthers.com/groups. And you want to be a part of all the action coming up next season. I know the schedule's not out, but that is going to be coming at some point relatively soon. And then after that, you know, everything that happens over the course of the summer, free agency coming up in a couple of days, the draft ongoing right now, the schedule, all that coming up as we cruise along throughout the offseason. And in less than 3 months, the Panthers have preseason dates on the schedule. So again, it's going to come fast and furious looking ahead to next season. Looking ahead to hour number three of the program here. Speaking of Atlantic Division teams, the Red Wings just made a selection. We'll get to an update on everything that's going on from Sphere in Vegas coming up next hour, not only with a catch-up on the draft picks on the other side of the break, but we will also hear from Jameson Olive, who is at Sphere currently covering the draft for FloridaPanthers.com. So we'll hear from him coming up next hour. Some sound bites as well. Lots more draft coverage. Lots more to get to as we continue cruising along, folks. Big thanks to Tim Reynolds for stopping by here in hour number two. Thanks to Billy Lindsay once again for stopping by back in hour number one. Danny Garcia on the other side of the glass. Doug Plagans here with you. We're talking all things Stanley Cup champion Florida Panthers, keeping you updated on the NHL draft as round one is ongoing out in Vegas. Lots to cover for another hour here on the annual draft special. This is 560 Sports WQAM.